Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah?
Aw yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from all across the globe, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and
incredible
way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you're riding the bus, robbing a train on top of a horse, or even
doing a headstand on your bike.
Oh yeah, I'm joined here in the cross-continental studio, as always, by my partner in crime, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah, great to be here, great to connect with you, Ethan, and great to connect with you guys all around the world, our world beyond borders.
Oh yeah, I love it. And we are, of course, on episode 152, and we are right smack dab in the middle of talking about the real life way. So maybe we should start by, just in case someone has made the fatal error of not listening to episodes 150 and episode 151, of explain to them what we've done so far, what is the real life way, and what they missed in the last episodes.
Well, the real life way is the condensation of pretty much our methodology that we're building, not just about English learning, but about life, about how you can become an amazing English learner and really use it to improve your life, improve the lives of other people too. And in the first episode, we gave an overview. You can stop that and go back and listen right now if you'd like. That might be the ideal way, but if not, you can keep listening. And then we talked about this first step in the real life way, determination, how important that is, how determination is a combination of desire, vision, and discipline, and how it's really important to develop habits and deliberate practice. And that's sort of like what we're going to talk more about today. And today we're talking about not just learning English, but living it. So the three promises for the real life way, as we've mentioned in the past, that we will inspire you to awaken the determination that you need to realize your true potential, not only as an English learner, but as a human being, that we will empower you to build the strategies, skills, and courage that you need to step outside the classroom into the real world, not just learn English, but to live it, and that we will connect you to a world beyond borders, a global consciousness, and global community and realization of the fact that no matter what divides us, that which unites us is far greater.
Oh yeah, that's really powerful stuff. I don't think you need much more than that. And I believe that today's podcast, we are on the second step, which falls into the second promise, which was, as Justin said, empowering you to build the strategy, skills, and courage that you need to step outside the classroom into the real world and not just learn English, but to live it. So today we are talking about something that I would say from the very beginning of Real Life English has been at the core of our teaching methodology, which is really how to make English part of your life, how to not just learn it, but to live it.
Yeah, and that's why we say stepping outside of the classroom. Our second promise talks about building the strategies, skills, and courage. So today we're going to talk a lot about the strategies that you need to build the skills and build the courage. But before we jump into that, we're going to introduce another couple shout outs, because we have quite a store of shout outs that we haven't really given you guys for quite a while. And I was just looking on our iTunes reviews. So by the way, if you have iTunes, I really recommend that you jump on there, find us, give us a 5-star review. We'd love to hear from you. And it's really nice when people do. Ethan, why don't you share these two shout outs?
All right, so maybe I'll start with the one that is just short and sweet. This guy named, well, at least his name on iTunes appears to be Maxi from Spain, and he just said, amazing, which I think, as I said, short and sweet. It's worth a lot to us. Thanks a lot, Maxi. And then the second one is from someone in the United States, maybe someone who has moved to the United States or is working there. And he or she said, I'm not sure of the name. It looks like Mdifidid. So if you're out there, maybe you can correct me with your real name. But you said that I've learned a lot with you guys, and I'm so grateful for it from the bottom of my heart. Just wish I could meet you all in person. So since you're in the States, maybe someday we will bump into each other. And I really like what this person said, from the bottom of my heart. What does that mean, Justin?
From the bottom of my heart, it means like very sincerely.
These both were 5-star reviews. If you want to give your own 5-star review, it will actually, it can be your way of paying for the learning. So helping other people learn, because the more 5-star reviews we have, the more people will find our podcast and be able to benefit from all these lessons like you guys.
Oh, yeah. So moving on, let's introduce another quote. And this one is taken from The Manifesto. And right now, if you go to the show notes on this page for this episode, you can download the Real Life English Manifesto. And this will give you a really nice introduction, a really nice base for the Real Life Way. So, quote is, formal education is a walk through the zoo. Informal education is a walk through the savannah. What do you mean by that, Ethan?
Well, first of all, what the heck is a savanna? Do you want to explain that? And then I can try my best to explain this very deep quote.
Yeah, it's a great introduction for this episode on not just learning English, but living it. A savanna is, when I think of a savanna, I think of Africa, like a really wide open field or wide open landscape with a huge ecosystem of nature, of trees, of animals, of just really adventurous things happening too.
Yeah. So I think, like, in this quote, what it makes me think of is, if you're in the zoo, it's very safe, right? Because all the animals, they're in cages. You know, it's very relaxed. You can go and get some food. You can walk around with a cold drink. If you're out in the savannah, it's very adventurous. You're not quite as safe. Maybe an animal could possibly come after you at any moment, and you would have to run, especially if you're walking, if you're not in one of those dune buggy things. And I think basically this is making a comparison that, you know, formal education, it's safe. You can pay your whatever, $60 a month for your English course that's going to promise to get you to the next level, whatever that means, by 6 months. And, or you could choose the other option, which would be to take a walk in the savannah, to live on the wild side, as we might say, by going through informal education, which might be like teaching yourself. It might be getting a private teacher who has more of a not untraditional way of teaching, or to go through maybe an online course that is kind of providing a new way of learning. So I've found that a lot of English learners, the ones who tend to really succeed and be able to maintain that passion for learning, like we talked about in the previous episode about the Real Life Way, is really important to be able to find ways that are non-traditional, that are wild and fun and adventurous and experimental.
Okay, one thing to tack on or to add on the end of what Ethan was just saying is, like, I agree with everything Ethan just said, but maybe you don't need to say either or for traditional methods and dynamic real life methods. You can do both. You can have both the zoo and the savannah. My only recommendation is that as you're looking at the zoo, just recognize that the savannah exists, and that even as you're starting, you can still experiment with it, and you can still really integrate that into your life. And this is what today is all about. It's about not just learning English, but living it. It's about stepping outside of the classroom into the real world and finding those resources and integrating them into your English from the very beginning or wherever you're at, because this is really going to help you as you go along. So as you're studying in a classroom or whatever environment that most people study in, or whatever environment you studied in, generally people will learn how to read and write, but they don't actually learn how to speak and listen a lot of times. And so, as we talked about before, people have the wrong idea a lot of times about how natives really speak. But so what we're recommending is for you to, from the very beginning, whatever point you're at in your process, to really start integrating these experiences with real English, with the media and the things that you like, fun, natural, convenient experiences into your everyday life. And this is going to make it a lot easier.
So I've found that kind of the traditional way of looking at English is people tend to treat it like any other school subject, or even like it's something like going to the gym, that, you know, if you go twice a week, you'll start building muscle and that's enough, or, you know, that it's basically something that you just go, you sit in the classroom, you take the test, and that'll get you to your goals. But really, I would think that English should be compared more to something that's like an art form. It's something that, like, really you have to make a part of your everyday life. You have to be constantly experimenting with it, trying to find ways to surround yourself with it. And, you know, a lot of people want to go study a language in another country, but they can't necessarily afford to, or they don't have the time, or they have responsibilities like family. But I have found a lot of people who can be very successful at doing this without leaving their home country where English is not spoken, simply by finding ways to make it really convenient, by finding ways to be listening to English at any point when it's convenient to have their headphones in or to be watching something. So I think that even without living in a native speaking country, you can get to a really exceptional level of English.
Yeah, besides that, it's just a huge base for all the other ways that you can practice English and really focus in on your weaknesses with your habits, a way to cultivate a different relationship with English. So you start liking it, becomes something much more natural in your life, much more convenient. Moving from there, you find ways to make it more deliberate. But we'll talk more about that in a moment. So we always talk about lifestyle English, about immersing your life in English, making English a part of your life. And so we just want to cover a few ways in which we can do that, which we recommend here at Real Life English. So Ethan, why don't you introduce them into some of the ways that we can use English in our everyday life and on the go?
Definitely. I would probably also recommend, if you go to the show notes, I can post a couple articles. Justin wrote a really excellent article on lifestyle English, and I wrote one about my own routines, learning languages in countries where that language is not actually spoken, in kind of a way that's a little bit more effortless, a little bit more relaxing, which is, like Justin said, that's kind of the place where you start, and then from that you move into deliberate practice. We can give you some tips here, and if you want to dive deeper, definitely go to the show notes, which we can put at reallifeglobal.com/empower, E-M-P-O-W-E-R. So we'll just give you a bit of a taste here of some of the different resources you can use. So one of my personal favorites, which I use pretty much all day, every day, anytime I can have earphones in, is music. I'm a huge music lover, and I'm especially a big proponent of using music for learning languages, because a lot of us, I'd say especially English learners, listen to English music all the time, but they don't really understand it. They don't really utilize it as a tool for learning English. They don't learn the lyrics. They don't use it as a tool to understand the vocab or to be curious about the different structures that they say, even grammatical structures you can learn from music if you dig into the lyrics a little bit. And another really important part is that it helps you to memorize things by singing, by actually singing out loud. You're really burning it into your memory. And at the same time, this can help you a lot to pick up more, depending on the type of music, it can help you to pick up on the rhythm and flow of English, on the intonation, on the pronunciation of different words.
Aw yeah, Real Lifer. I hope you have been enjoying the second step of the Real Life Way. Today we are back with another quick but powerful native connected speech tip brought to you by the Real Life Native Immersion Course. Today, you're going to learn to listen and pronounce an extremely useful sound that is used by most native English speakers around the world all the time. The soft D or flap T sound pronounced in words like better and water as better and water. So the basic rule is that a T between two vowels becomes a soft D sound. But if you're a native Spanish, Portuguese, or Italian speaker, this is more like an R sound. So I'm going to repeat these two examples one more time, pausing after each word to give you a chance to imitate me. Water becomes water. Water. Better becomes better. Better. But keep in mind that it's not always so simple, as there are plenty of exceptions to this T between two vowels rule. For example, I'm from a city in the US called Seattle, spelled S-E-A-T-T-L-E. But most non-native English speakers don't understand me when I say Seattle because they expect me to say Seattle as it's written because they never learn the soft D. The Beatles, or the Beatles, the famous band, is another similar example. So let's practice these two words. Seattle becomes Seattle. Seattle. Beatles becomes Beatles. Beatles. But it gets a lot more interesting when we start to link and blend our words together. For example, natives don't usually say go to, like I go to work every day. We actually say go to. I go to work every day. Repeat after me. I go to work every day. I go to work every day. Interestingly, the same thing happens when we add ing. For example, I'm going to work becomes I'm going to work. Repeat after me. I'm going to work. I'm going to work. To finish, I have a final test for you. To see how well you've mastered this sound, we have two final example sentences that are loaded with the soft D sound. Number one, repeat after me. I gotta get a better water bottle. I gotta get a better water bottle. Number two, repeat after me. What are you gonna do tomorrow? What are you gonna do tomorrow? I hope you enjoyed and learned a lot in today's Native Connected Speech Tip, brought to you by the Real Life Native Immersion Course, where Ethan, Chad, and I, Justin, help you not just learn English, but to live it. Now let's get back to step two of the Real Life Way.
So I would definitely say, even if you're not a good singer, start learning to music, listening to music, start learning with music, and start singing along with the music.
Yeah, I would say, like, just adding to what you were saying about pronunciation there and the rhythm and flow, one thing, I think rap music is really good for this. And there are some even like rock or pop groups. I think Red Hot Chili Peppers is a good example because they sing in a way that's kind of like rhythmic with the way that people speak. If you learn how to imitate those, it's really a big advantage for improving your pronunciation. I've met so many super, super fluent English speakers who sound almost like natives oftentimes. And it's because of rap music. They've been practicing with rap music and it just flows into the way they speak. And so it becomes a really natural part of their lives in a way that they can develop native-like fluency. Okay, the second element of lifestyle English that we really promote are TV shows and movies. This is a really big thing. As many of you know, we have Learn English with TV, our YouTube channel. We have a course called Fluent with Friends, which helps people learn English having fun with the Friends TV show. Why would you say these are so effective for English learners, Ethan?
So personally, I promote with my students more TV series than movies just because of the, I think it's more practical, more convenient. You don't have to take such a large chunk of native English and digest it at the same time. So that's generally what I say because most people can afford to do 20 minutes. TV series, I think in general, are around 20 minutes. And most people have that amount of time that they can spend every day or every other day. And because they also have more of an addictive nature that you start a TV series and you get hooked. What does that mean, Justin? You get hooked?
Hooked. So a hook is like a fishing hook, right? But to be hooked is to be addicted, like you just said. You get hooked on a drug. I'm hooked on caffeine, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you get hooked to a good TV series and then it's like, you know, you don't even have to remember to study your English. You're just going to want to come home from work every day or school and flip it on. And it's a little bit of passive learning. We'll talk about in a little bit how to make it a little bit more deliberate practice with TV series. That can be just such a great resource if you get hooked on a TV series, whatever level you are, whether you need to start with subtitles in your own language, subtitles in English, or no subtitles. It's a really nice, relaxing way to start using some native media to learn. And another thing I use a lot with my students is TED Talks because for several reasons. First, they are almost all have subtitles in many different languages. I think all of them have subtitles in English. Generally, it depends on the speaker, of course, but generally, since it's a very prepared speech, generally it's very clear and a little bit easier to understand than, you know, like a TV show, which is more conversational English. And the final reason is because they're incredibly inspirational or fascinating. You watch some of them and you can get hooked as well, just like you watch one TED Talk and then it'll show another one that you might like and you watch that one. And before you know it, you've been spending a couple hours watching TED Talks in English. So my students absolutely love all three of these resources and I cannot recommend enough to start using, spending, if you just have 5 minutes a day watching a TED Talk or 20 minutes a day watching a TV series.
Or if you have 5, 10, 15 minutes, just go to Learn English with TV Series on YouTube. This is a channel we created, which we take short scenes of TV shows, really funny scenes, and then we break them down and teach them to you in a way that's really digestible. We teach you the pronunciation, we teach you the vocabulary, all the idioms and phrasal verbs, as well as the cultural notes. I definitely really dig all of these, and yeah, and there's a lot more we can talk about, and we've definitely done like episodes on that, and we have lots of material on that. So moving on to the third aspect of lifestyle English, which you are doing right now. What are they doing, Ethan?
Listening to a podcast.
So what exactly is a podcast?
So if this is the only podcast you listen to and you only think that it's a free audio lesson with native English teachers, then there's a whole world that you have yet to be exposed to. So podcasts, they are free audio programs, and you'll find them about practically anything. It's just a lesson on some sort of thing generally. So there's an entrepreneurial podcast that we both listen to. I think there's a lot of podcasts that we overlap on that we both listen to. And you can find these on all different sources of inspiration. You can find them maybe related to the whatever you work in or related to your hobbies, biking, to food, to wine, if you're a wine connoisseur. And I think that using the ones that are for English learners in particular, there's a lot of ones like this podcast that are for English as a second language learners. I also recommend a lot to my students to experiment with challenging themselves a little bit with native podcasts. So podcasts that are in English and they're on different topics, like I was saying. And there's some different strategies you can use for these. So generally, if you have an iPhone and you're listening to it with the podcast app on iPhone, or if you have an Android and you're listening on Stitcher, there's a feature that you can slow down the audio. So it might be challenging listening to it on normal speed, but I bet that at half speed, maybe you have to listen a couple times, but you're going to have probably a pretty good understanding. Even if it's just 60%, you'll probably be able to get enough to understand the whole context of whatever that podcast is. I would say if we're talking about informal learning, going out on the savannah, being a little bit adventurous, pushing your comfort zone a little bit and doing what feels a little bit more uncomfortable is going to be the best way to grow here.
Podcasts, definitely revolutionary. I would say getting to the point where you can understand and get the main idea. If you can understand this podcast, then you are in a place where you can start understanding native podcasts, experimenting more with that. But they're life-changing. Just like TED Talks, maybe even more so, because you find a podcast that you like and you listen to it on the way to work, on the way to school, and you're running. You're not only practicing your English, really the podcast is just a doorway to your English, or your English is just a doorway to the podcast. And so you're not thinking about learning English. You're just thinking about learning and what's going to happen on the next podcast and who are they going to talk to. And really, like, listening to several episodes of a podcast is a completely life-changing experience.
And I would say, based on what you just said, pretty much with all of these resources we're giving you, once you start tapping into these, you start using these kind of native resources, your English learning takes a completely different form, because no longer is it such a thing like, oh, I need to sit down and study English. It's much becomes much more of a thing like, oh, I'm just learning about something really interesting and I happen to be doing it in English because I understand English.
Yeah. And this is like the fun, natural, convenient, but we can't forget there's deliberate practice, and we'll talk about that in one moment. But first of all, what are a couple final aspects of lifestyle English, Ethan?
One that I also like to do a lot as far as kind of a relaxing form of learning is reading. I also do this a lot with my students. I try, if they like reading books, basically if they like reading anything, I try to get them to switch to doing it in English. So if you read the paper every morning in your native language, try also reading like an article every day in English. If you read blogs in your native language, try also reading some in English. If you read a book, try reading a book, even if it's really easy. Like my first book in Spanish was Harry Potter. That's a great place to start. So I really like that because I do it before bed. Like, it's kind of a way to wind down in the evening. What does wind down mean, Justin?
Wind down to relax.
Exactly. So I'm able to like read a really interesting story, or even sometimes I might read, and I know Justin does the same, something that might have to do with business or with work or some other skill that I'm trying to learn in another language. So it's like you're able to, again, be using the language that you're learning as a form of accessing new information.
And doing this every day, every day, every day. Another one that I really like is writing. So I think it's really important to develop habits. I think if you ever write like a journal, or one thing I do is a gratitude practice. There's a lot of evidence in positive psychology showing that just writing things that you're grateful for, things that you appreciate in your life, making a list of like 2 minutes, 3 minutes a day, this greatly increases your happiness, just your ability to be optimistic about life and to see the positive things in the world. And so you create a habit. And so you can do that in English too.
I even have some of my students, just because I meditate and it's something that has helped me a lot. We've actually talked about it in a class, and I have, I think at least three of my students now are using the same app that I use, which is called Insight Timer. And I can link to that in the show notes.
I use that too, man. How come we're not friends?
Oh, wow. We need to add each other's friends on that, which is really great because it connects you to meditators from all around the world. But if you don't currently meditate, one of the things that's really beneficial with this app is that there are thousands of free guided meditation audios. So they're also, I used this expression before, they're killing two birds with one stone, because every morning they're meditating, they're able to get kind of a more clear state of mind, and it can even help with your English because you're getting more focused. But they're also listening to a guided meditation every morning in English so that they're practicing their listening a little bit. And I also find guided meditations are a great resource because the people tend to speak very slowly and calmly, so it makes it quite relaxing to listen to and easier to catch what they are saying.
Yeah, we actually did a podcast on this, number 121, Enlighten Your English Meditation. The three of us sat down because all of us meditate. Chad meditates too.
It can be, if it's something that you're curious about, I can link some resources about meditation. Justin wrote a great article about how meditation can affect your English. That's another thing for you to possibly check out.
What about speaking, Ethan, with Lifestyle English? Are there ways that we can speak?
There's a lot of different resources that you have out there that are available nowadays, especially if you're living in a big city. But even if not, we have the internet, which is a terrific resource for meeting people online. So I tend to use a lot of different resources when I'm living in a city to go practice the language or a variety of languages at like different kind of language exchanges. You'll also find events that are aimed towards English learners in particular. So, or if you're living in an English speaking country already, then it could be a really great way to get out and meet people, maybe by going to an event that we've been talking a lot about wine. So why don't we say like a wine tasting event? And you could meet other people who enjoy wine through English. So there's a lot of different ideas there. I've written on this extensively, and I can post those as well in the show notes. So you guys are definitely going to want to go to the show notes because we are mentioning a lot of resources that I'm going to link there. And something else that I wanted to mention here, maybe you can chime in on this, is that most English learners have the misconception that they have to practice with native speakers, which I would say is It's a really bad preconception to have. And I'm not saying you shouldn't speak with native speakers. I'm saying it's great, but it's kind of hard to access native speakers if you're not living in a country where the people speak that language, unless you're offering something in return. And even when you are, one of the most common ways is through language exchanges. But there's so many more people learning English out there than there are English speakers, native English speakers that are learning your language.
Another reason what you're talking about is that a lot of times we adapt our influence from English, or maybe our accent or our fluency from what we're listening. And so think about it. If you have a huge base of native English that you're listening to, then speaking with non-natives is not going to really influence you in a bad way. It's not like you're going to suddenly absorb their mistakes, because you have so much input already coming from all of this native input, these native sources, that actually having the chance to open your mouth, even if the person doesn't speak English that well, or even if it's your dog, really, or even if you're speaking with yourself in the mirror, it's great to speak. And if you're in a meaningful situation, you're activating all of your English speaking mechanisms, and you're going to get better and better, even if the person across from you doesn't speak as well as you do.
One of my students, I have seen her English just take off, her spoken English take off, because we established at the beginning that she would try a new habit. We talked about 30-day challenges last episode, talking about the real life way. And she did her 30-day challenge on doing a video speaking English every day. And so she would just do like 5 minutes talking about a variety of different topics. So she would, in each video, she would talk about a different topic. And afterwards, she would go watch her own video and she would write down feedback. Because the thing is, when you speak, you don't really have enough time to think about grammar. You don't have enough time to think about pronunciation. So you're just trying to get your ideas out in a way that makes sense. And when you go back and you watch yourself, or even if you just record audio and you listen to yourself, you are able to catch a lot of your own mistakes. And when you do that, you start to correct those mistakes that are repetitive, those mistakes that you make a lot.
And so, Ethan, you just delved into the next topic, actually, that I wanted to talk about, deliberate practice. So what did you just describe, Ethan? What component of deliberate practice was your student doing?
So she was actually identifying her big weaknesses. And she still does this, actually. I'm pretty sure she still is making videos every day. And, you know, since we do class together, I will watch one of them every week and I will also give her different feedback. But this has been really, really powerful from her. I've seen her English grow a lot by doing this because she is systematically identifying her weaknesses. She's identifying, for example, what vocabulary she's missing, because sometimes in the video she'll be like, oh, I can't think of that word. She looks it up afterwards and then she is growing her vocabulary as well. So that act of actually really identifying where your weak points are is, I'd say, probably at the core of deliberate practice.
Going back to what lifestyle English is about, you know, making it fun, natural, convenient. And this can be super important if you don't have English that much in your life. It can be a really big push forward, no matter what level you're at, but you kind of stabilize and you plateau, as we talked about in the last podcast, if you do this long enough, if you don't have deliberate practice. Mm-hmm. At this point, deliberate practice, the principles are you need to push beyond your comfort zone, you need to work towards specific goals, you need to focus. It's not always comfortable. It's not always fun. This is how you make it effective. And you need high quality feedback. Feedback from other people is great. Ethan's student is getting feedback from him, but she's giving herself feedback too. And so she's recording herself and watching it, and she can give herself feedback. And then from there, mm-hmm. it's developing a self-awareness, a philosophy about your own learning, and kind of a plan, a strategy. So that's what deliberate practice is.
Yeah. I would say, like, too, you just said awareness. And I think that my student, you know, maybe I can't speak for her, but from what I've noticed, I think that she is much more aware of when she does make mistakes. I think a lot of people, they kind of just, they hit that plateau point. They're really comfortable with their English. And then they kind of start to be under the misconception that they aren't making mistakes. And it's just because they're not listening to themselves. They don't notice their mistakes. Or it might be even that they don't want to. They don't want to know that they're making mistakes. And so they kind of just ignore them. But when you grow that awareness, then it's just constantly when you're speaking, you're going to realize more like, oh, I made that mistake. I need to work on that. I need to work on that thing specifically.
One thing to emphasize there is that there's sort of like people who are hypersensitive to their mistakes. And they're like, oh, I'm not going to speak because they think they're afraid of making mistakes. And they're not comfortable with mistakes in that sense. And then there are people who are not aware of their mistakes. So they're kind of two opposites. But it's really important to develop an awareness of your mistakes and openness to them, but just relax and speak and treat the speaking experience as a different type of experience than the feedback experience.
Exactly. And I think that we're going to talk a lot more about that topic in a couple episodes when we talk about confidence, which, you know, of course, it's going to come back to the idea of the mindset as well of not being afraid to make mistakes, of really leaning into them and using them as your weapon. You kind of like look at people who are ultra successful in whatever they do, and they love failure. They love making mistakes because it's the stepping stones that they use to get to their goal.
So that's step four that Ethan's talking about, that step outside your comfort zone when we focus on confidence, on courage. But next week, we're going to talk about discovering native-like English, really show you some of the mechanics of really taking your English to the next level, what you can focus your deliberate practice on, some of the hidden or the not so well-known elements that you generally won't learn at school. This is going to be a really great episode. Just summarizing today's episode, what would you say are the main points, Ethan?
I know we have covered a lot today, so we talked about the big problem of not just learning it, but living it for most people is that English learners are failing to reach fluency. They are not really speaking English. They can't actually find the opportunities or the ways that they can actually speak English. And they might be under, this might be you, that you're under a lot of misconceptions from your traditional English classes that you need to study grammar, you need to have really good perfect writing, or maybe you even need to speak perfectly before you can actually open your mouth. And you need to treat it more like a lifestyle. You need to surround yourself by the language and really swim in it in everything you do. So we covered some of the main resources, and I'm going to link a lot of stuff in the show notes, which will be at reallifeglobal.com/empower. You're definitely going to want to go check that out and see all of these resources so that you can start using them. There's a lot of stuff to dig into before you get the next episode of The Real Life Way. And let's not forget how important habits are, because as Aristotle said, much better than I could ever say, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. What does that quote mean, Justin?
It's whatever we repeatedly do, whatever we automate into our lives, whatever we make into a habit makes us successful. It's not that one-time act. It's not that one-time deed. It's what we do day in and day out, every single day.
Exactly. And I like to look at this too, that I think most English learners are looking for that key to fluency. It's pretty much anything we do, we want that secret, that special ingredient that the people who are really successful have that made them successful. But when you actually look at what they do every day, you realize, oh, it's not one thing that they do. It's not like some secret that they have. It's just the little, every little habit that adds together to make them really exceptional. So is there anything else that you want to share with these guys, Justin?
I just remind them to go to reallifeglobal.com/empower and download the manifesto, because this is a really great base for you to really internalize these ideas and to hit the ground running for next week.
And what does hit the ground running mean? Just leave them with the last expression, I guess.
Hit the ground running means to really start something with really great momentum. You have a head start, so, right? You're ahead of everybody
exactly.
else. Do that. Read the manifesto. It's really, really going to help you internalize these ideas. Take your English to the next level. And we're really excited to record next week's episode.
That'll be coming to you real soon. So should we 1, 2, 3, ah, yeah, them out of here?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. 1, 2, 3,
ah.